All right. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 22, for he himself is our peace. Anybody use a little peace today? Anybody use a little peace this week? He himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself a new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, it's summertime. There's things to do. But Lord, we put you number one on our list. Lord, that you would come and meet us here, Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that you would move, that you would do supernatural work among us, Lord. And we give you praise for that. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen? This is a series on the church. And I love the church. I hope you love the church. This is a place for you, and we are studying, trying to understand what the church is supposed to be. And once we get an understanding of what the church is supposed to be, we can get an understanding of what we're supposed to do in the church. Now, doesn't that sound like a good idea? Now, we have some issues. We read today, I just read to you, today about hostility. And we've got hostility. We've got hostility in our country. Bible talks about a dividing wall of hostility. And one dividing wall that we have that is gaining much attention in the press, in conversations, is the Arizona immigration law. There was a poll that came out this week. 49% of California voters were in favor of that law. 45% were opposed. 71% of Hispanic California voters are opposed to the Arizona immigration law. Now, you see people in the Tea Party. A lot of Christians in the Tea Party. They were saying, close down the borders. Send everyone back. Quite divisive. Quite challenging. We're challenged here. Why? We got people without papers in this church. And realistically, we don't want them going anywhere. Can I get a witness on that, please? We don't want them deported because they're part of us. We know them. And I have to think that the 71% of Hispanic voters in California probably know someone that they don't want deported. Does that make sense? I got to think, if the Arizona immigration law was targeted at Chinese people, that there would be a whole lot less Hispanics that were against it. Does that make sense? You're going, why are you talking about this in church, Pastor? Well, we're talking about hostility. Where does hostility come from? There are families in this church, Hispanic families in this church, who have been recipients of violence from people that are here illegally. And nobody's fighting for those guys to stay. Bad guys got to go. Does that make sense? Bad guys got to go. We don't want the bad guys here. People that have been attacked saying, hey, get them out of the country, put them in jail. for as long as they need to go, and then get them out of the country because we don't want them around us anymore. It's kind of a complicated situation. How do you tell who the bad guys are? We can ask ourselves, try and get some wisdom. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus address this? Well, I think Jesus would be a little bit more tolerant than the church is talking these days. I don't want anybody getting mad at me and leaving. Okay, well, we're going to talk about Jesus here. Leviticus 19:34. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I got to think the Lord would be a little bit tolerant here. Amen? It's called a social gospel. Now, the church is supposed to help people out, right? We help people out. The problem becomes is when you're helping folks that are getting better than you got. You think, wait a minute, how does that work out? Well, I'll tell you what, in this neighborhood, we've got a housing issue, right? We got housing problems in this neighborhood. Anybody? Rent's a little bit high. And we got some folks in here that got Section 8. And that's a blessing. You know somebody with Section 8? That's a blessing. Amen? And there's a lot of people that want Section 8. I want to get some Section 8. I did some checking. In L.A. County, 70% of all the subsidized housing is being received by people that are undocumented immigrants. And you start thinking, hey, wait a minute. You know, current wait on Section 8 is like 5 years. It's like, hey, you know, I want to help everybody out, but when you're taking my place in line, I'm challenged by that. We got to identify the bad guys. We got to identify some things. How can I make this clearer to you? We get some folks coming and want money. They want things from the church. And somebody comes in and, you know, I can tell. They're going to ask for money. And one of the first questions that I ask them is, where do you go to church? And they start kind of stammering a little bit. And I said, well, you know, you're hooked up to that church. Why aren't you asking them for money? And I said, realistically, we give away food. We give away, we do help, we do work, we do all kinds of stuff around here, but we don't got a whole lot of money. And if we're going to give away money, we're going to give money away to people that we know. Because I tell you what, I got a church full of people that need money. Can I get a witness on that? And I said, now you're standing here today, I don't know you. I'm going to give the money to somebody that I know before I give it to somebody that I don't know. Right? And so we talk about, there's immigrants, illegal immigrants, people that are here illegally that I love. I got to find a way to work this out. But you get them people, I don't know. I got problems coming. Got people coming to the church saying, I don't know you. I just want you to hook me up. Guy came in this morning. It's obviously not in my notes. In a wheelchair. He was asleep on the wheel, on the thing. Let's see. Oh, Pastor Dave, you still haven't found your Bible yet, right? Came in a wheelchair. We hooked him up, got him a donut. Pastor Dave took him downstairs. Going to make him some coffee. And a guy got mad at Pastor Dave, yelled out, but he stole Pastor Dave's Bible on the way out. How's that for gratitude? Okay. All right. Church has to be about more than money. Amen? And some people just put a little target on the church. You have to ask ourselves, what is church about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the church is about the power and the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Right here, the church, a place for God. Now, forgive me if I've offended anybody by bringing up the Arizona immigration law, but I do think the Lord would be rather more tolerant than we're hearing people talk. All right. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. He who? He, Jesus, is our peace. You need peace? You see them Bible, them bumper stickers? No, N-O, Jesus, no peace. No, Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W, it's hard to say that without writing it. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus gets us over our differences. He's talking about making the two into one. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jews, and he's talking about Gentiles. And he's talking about hostility. Jews. I tell you what, I mean, I don't get it. I was born in 1961. I always liked the Jews. You know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. The Arabs are attacking these guys. Iran wants to blow them off the face of the earth. That sounds a little hostile. Amen? Amen? And they want to blow these guys up. And so we've got the world arrayed against the Jews. And I tell you what, God has a special place for his children. I want to kind of hook up on God's children, feel safer that way. Amen? All right, now, then he talks about Gentiles. And Gentiles is basically everybody else, okay? And I see these bumper stickers, coexist. You seen these before? And it's basic. Now, what is this? Is this a Muslim thing or is that a communist thing? What is it? It's a Muslim thing? Anybody know? Well, we don't know. Anyway, what is it, Dave? All right, so we got the Muslim thing, then we got the peace. Now, how well do the Muslims get along with the peace guys? I think the peace guys, they want to have peace. They're fine with the Muslims, but the Muslims still want to kill them. All right, and then you got these women right thing, you got the Jewish thing, and then I don't know what the I thing is. Then you got the yin and the yang, and then you got the Christians. And they're saying, hey, you know what? You just got to get all this together. Got to line it all up. But what we're talking about are systems of belief that are diametrically opposed. And you just can't get along and be what you are. We have a problem. A wall of hostility. Saying, what causes that hostility? You wonder what causes that hostility? Anybody? Please, somebody say yes. All right, right there, good, thank you. I have an answer for you. It's sin. See, I couldn't have done that if I didn't get one person to ask me the question. Sin is that thing that keeps us apart. What is sin? Selfishness. I want what I want. I want what I want when I want it. Sin is the dividing wall of hostility. And Paul says, Jews, Gentiles, you're both messed up. Neither one of you has a line on truth. You guys are all messed up. If you want to know about that, you can read Romans 1 through 3. Paul says, hey, man, you are messed up. So we ask ourselves, how can we get along? How can we come together? How can we get over that sin, that selfishness, that self-focus? Well, it's not easy. That's going to take a look at it. Jesus is making something new. He says, he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. One new man out of the two, thus making peace. The law was set up as a pathway to God. The Jews messed it up and they used it as a barrier against the Gentiles from getting in. The law of God is about a pathway to righteousness, a pathway away from sin. And the problem with our culture is our culture does not want to talk about sin. Our culture wants to address modes of behavior and find ways to accommodate them. We don't want to talk about things that are going bad and fixing them. We just want to take what's bad and kind of call it good. Because then nobody will get offended. You know what I'm talking about? Talk about condoms being distributed to grammar school kids. You know, there's just something wrong with that picture. You know what? I read a story. I was debating talking about this today, but down in Nashville City on June 16th, 14-year-old boy arrested for stabbing the 13-year-old mother of his 1.5-year-old child in the neck. Now, I mean, that's, and he stabbed her because of jealousy. Now, you can do some math on that. This girl became a mother at 11. And the boy said they were together since they were 10. Now, there's just something wrong with that picture. You know, somebody needs to quit covering over behavior that needs to be transformed. Jesus says you got a real problem. He says you're all messed up. Sin messes you up. Sin keeps you apart. Sin destroys your life. Sin destroys your relationships. Sin messes everything up. And Jesus is going to address that in his flesh. He does away with sin with the cross. See, until you address sin, you can't deal with the hostility. I don't know how many people are talking about sin when we're talking about illegal immigration. I haven't talked about anybody. Close down the border. Nobody's talking about sin. Even all the church folks, I got no problem with the Tea Party. I don't need any more taxes. But there's a lot of church folk there, and they're not talking about sin. You know who's talking about sin? Jesus is talking about sin. And he says, until you get rid of the sin, there's no way that you're going to be able to come together. He says, for you Jew and you Gentile to come together, you need to come to a new place. You got to deal with your sin. And that new place you can come together is the church. How do you get to the church? You've got to realize that you've got the problem. You've got to come running to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I got a problem, and my problem is sin. Because Jesus doesn't care where you're starting off. You can start down here with a Gentile. You can start off with a Jew. You're messed up. And until you realize that you are messed up, you're never going to find a way to be made right. Can I get a witness on that? And so the Lord says, and Paul is showing us, giving us this lesson on what the church is like. And he says, hey, you guys are divided by your sin and your hostility and all kind of stuff. I'll deal with your hostility by my sacrifice on the cross, but you got to understand that you are bitter and sinful people, and you got to ask to be transformed into something new. Make sense? All right, let me paint you a picture. When I was, like 7 or 8, and me and I got 2 brothers, we went to my grandpa's house in Oakland, and we were going to go play baseball. And he had a cool park, and he was a coach, so he had all kinds of baseball gear and all that kind of stuff. So, and he had these old school gloves. I was like, what is this, Grandpa? But anyway, so we're going out to the park to play ball, and me being 7, you know, I threw the ball, and my brother missed it because he was 6. And the ball goes rolling over by these other kids that are like maybe 10, right? And we run over there and say, hey, did you see a ball come over here? And I'm seeing no ball. Really? It just rolled over here. Didn't see a ball. And so we go back to my grandpa and say, those boys said they didn't see the ball, but they're lying. They got to be lying. What are we going to do? And he goes, let's not do anything. So we start messing around a little bit. And he goes, hey, you boys want to play ball? And they say, sure. And we're playing ball, and we're, you know, running around the bases, and my grandpa's doing the pitching and all that kind of stuff. And one of the kids goes running off, and he comes back, and he goes, hey, look what I just found. I found the ball. Uh-huh. Why did they do that? Because when we initially approached them, it was us and them from both sides. From their side, it was us and them. We were them, and they wanted the ball. After we had played a little bit, we just became us. And you don't steal from yourself. Amen? And see, so the Lord says, I'm going to make something new. I'm going to bring you together. You're not going to be a Jew anymore. You're not going to be a Gentile anymore. You're going to be a Christian now. Isn't that good? Yeah. Amen. Aren't you glad you came today? Yeah, it's more than just this air conditioning, too. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so, he's bringing us together, and in this one body, right? We got this? Let me get this back a little bit. Back, back. Ah, heck. Just remember what I read before. Oh, you got it on your notes. Okay. And in this one body, he's going to make the two men into one man, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he was put to death their hostility. And Jesus is taking us to someplace new. And it was not just enough to put to death or to put to rest their hostility. The Lord's plan is more than just unity. There's all kinds of people that are out there that will try to get unity. And the problem is you got to get a real small little focus on the priorities to get people to give up their other stuff and come together to agree. I mean, you got YMCA, you got all kinds of stuff. People doing good works and trying to bless people, food bank, all that kind of stuff. What are they worried about? They're just worried about food. They're not worried about sin. They're not worried about sex. They're not worried about anything else. They just want food. So we'll gather together, we'll get food, and we'll give food to people that are hungry. And they're trying to do good stuff. Paul's telling us that the church is about a whole lot more than that. He says, I want to bring you together, and then I want to take you to God. Okay? I want to reconcile you as you come here. Now we've got a problem. We've got this barrier with God. We're going, oh, okay, now we're dealing with some stuff. We need to break this barrier. What's the barrier? It says here, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds. We were enemies with God. We didn't like God. And the Bible says, Ephesians 2:3, we were by nature's objects of wrath. God was not pleased with us. Why? Because we were sinners. Amen? And so the Lord says, hey, I'm going to bring you together into the church, and now I'm going to reconcile you with God. And how's he going to go about doing that? By the cross. Is not the cross the most powerful thing? He reconciles us to one another, and then he reconciles us with God. We come together once a month, or thereabouts, and celebrate communion. I talked to some of you gentlemen, Rick, if you'd come up, and Pastor Dave and Johnny, pass out these elements. These elements are the symbols of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. Pastor Dave, you can go to that side over there. And go ahead and pass these out. Hold these elements, if you would. And as you are contemplating, I mean, that's just such a... I mean, I like this picture. Is this not a cool picture? I think this kind of encapsulates Ephesians chapter 2, where the Lord brings us together and by the cross takes us to God. And the Lord said on the night that he was betrayed, when you get together, partake of the bread and partake of the cup as remembrance of what I have done for you. Amen? So these guys are going to pass this out. Let me read a passage of Scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He's saying, I want you to come together, just like we're doing right now, and I want you to take pieces of bread, and I want you to take a cup of wine or cups of juice, and I want you to think about the sacrifice that does what? That reconciles you to one another, and that also reconciles you to God. Because without the cross, you have no possibility. Without the cross, Anthony's not singing today, folks. Can I get a witness on that? It was the power of Jesus on the cross. You know, I just got to say this. Even more amazing than Anthony is William. The Lord, through his brother, is doing a work. And William is like a different kid. I told Eddie, I said, man, God's doing something in William. Hallelujah. He destroys the dividing wall. And then he reconciles us to God by his blood. Amen? I'm happy I came to church. Hallelujah. You know, there's not a whole lot more I love more than church. You get some already? I love the church, man. I was so lost. Anthony danced around and said, I just got to sing that song. Don't we sing? song. I got to sing that song. Take these elements in your hands if you would. These are symbols. These are symbols of the Lord's sacrifice for you to set you free from sin and death. He said, the night he was betrayed, took that bread and said, "This represents my body given for you, reconcile you to one another." Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your body given for us, Lord, that we can have relationship with one another, Lord, that you deal with our sin, Lord, that we don't have to be selfish, Lord, that we can be generous, Lord, and givers. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit just moving on me right now. I just trust that he is touching you and reaffirming your place, your importance in his kingdom, that you are here for a purpose. God, you are good. You are good. Lord, we come to just experience your presence in this place, Lord. Lord, that you are supernaturally here, Lord, that you put your arms around each one of us, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. You are indeed awesome. Thank you, Lord. That same night he was betrayed, he took a cup and he said, "This is a new covenant. This is a new contract. This is a new deal that I make with you in my blood, which is given to wash away your sin." I don't know what kind of lifestyle, I know it's life kind of lifestyle some of you have come from, but not all of you. I don't know what you got in your closet, but the Lord does. And he says, "My blood shed on Calvary will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you can have a fresh start." Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place, Lord, that you guide and direct us, Lord, and that you meet us here, Lord. I thank you for your blood shed on Calvary that reconciles me to my Father in heaven, that I can come into his presence and be transformed. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. You are so good. Just take a minute. Lord, you are so good. We give you praise this morning, Lord. Thank you for your death on the cross, Lord, that makes me new. Pray for that man wheeled out of here on a wheelchair this morning, took Pastor Dave's Bible. I pray healing touch, Lord. I pray, Lord, you just touch him spiritually, cleanse him, Lord. The apparent attack he is under, Lord. You are his Savior. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, yeah. Amen. Pass these cups over and the guys will wait upon you. Yeah, yeah. Right before church. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Moving us toward God, making use of the opportunity. Making use of the opportunity. Verse 18 says, "For through him," through Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, "we both, Jew and Gentile alike, have access to the Father by one Spirit." And the question I have for you is, are you making use of that access? We are reconciled with God. We can come into his presence. And when you step into the presence of God, you're transformed. Amen? I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place during that communion. Anybody else sense the presence of God just right here? Amen? For some, that is a scary thing. It is a transforming thing. It will change who you are and how you are. So we have a fear of that sometimes, and sometimes God's people want to just kind of shy away from God. Children of Israel told Moses, "You go talk with God. We'll do whatever you tell us. But if we go talk to him, we'll die because we're sinful. We're afraid." And sometimes we really don't want to come into the presence of God because we really don't want to be transformed. Paul wants to address this fear. He says, your sin has been dealt with. It's time to make a change. We have to ask ourselves, what is Paul's entire focus of this letter? Verses 18 and 19 of chapter 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. Paul wants the readers of this letter to know that you have hope in the presence of God. That there is stuff that's out there beyond you. You might be overwhelmed, the situations of your life, but there is hope that transcends your current situation if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he's called you to and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The saints are right here. There is riches, there is provision that we cannot even imagine. And so often we want to make do with less. We're afraid to step in to the presence of God and receive. And he says, there's hope. He says, there's riches. And then he says, his incomparably great power. He says, you got riches, you got hope, and you got power. And he says, I wish the Lord would open the eyes of your heart that you could understand this. I wish that you had the confidence to step into the presence of God and be transformed and leave the little bit of sin that's holding you back. Want to come to the presence of God because I'm doing this bad thing and I really kind of want to keep on doing this bad thing. Paul says, you're missing out on stuff you can't even comprehend. Jesus hung on a cross for you to be transformed, and the very thing he died to set you free from, you grab onto with both fists. You are missing out on some big stuff. Leanne went to camp with Holly last week. It was last week, right? Yeah, they went up to Big Bear, what is that place called? Forest Home. And they kind of worked. It was kind of like a work camp kind of thing. They took care of kids and stuff. And Leanne needs some money. I'm not that easy of a touch. You probably know that if you've asked me for money. And so I said, wash my car, mow the lawn. You know, and I said, you mow my car, or mow the lawn, wash the car, I'll give you $20. And that's above the going rate, by the way. And so she did that, and she got her $20, and she was good. And she was talking to her grandma. And her grandma says, so where are you going? I'm going to Forest Home. She says, what's your address there? I'm going to send you a card. And she's like, that's kind of odd. Never got a card at camp before. Okay. And grandma sends her a little card with a $20 bill in there. Now, why'd she do that? Just because she loves my daughter. It's so easy to cut God out of a loop. So I got to do another lawn today. I got to wash another car today. Man, he just sends you stuff in the mail. Don't even know what we're missing out on. Amen? Amen. All right, big things in store. Try and get out of here. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Jesus is working things out. God makes us members of his household. What do we call that household? We call it the church. Praise the Lord. And I love the church. And then he says there's a foundation, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets prophesying the forecoming or the coming of Jesus, and the apostles, the teaching of the apostles, working out the words of Jesus. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Because you can hear them and not do them. Can I get a witness on that? You know, people come in here every week and go out and do the same old stuff every week. Jesus says, hey, here's the thing. You hear my words and put them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations of that house on rock. And he said, there's a storm coming. How many of you know there's a storm coming? Amen? Some of you might be in a storm right now. Some of you might have come through a storm last week. And if you have built your house on the foundation that the Lord talks about, the foundation of the apostles, the foundation of God's word, what did the apostles do after the years after that Jesus was raised from the dead, they worked at remembering everything that Jesus said. They had the Holy Spirit guiding them. And then they're like, how do we work this out? How do we make this work? And they had all these teachings. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we're so lucky because we have much of that teaching that's codified in the Bible today. And he says that he will build his house on a foundation. That we can build the church on a foundation of the apostles' teaching. You like that, Lair? I'll tell you what, it's a good book, folks. Spend some time in it. It will help you. And he says that Jesus is the cornerstone. A lot of people say, well, that's just kind of, you know, talking about the same thing. I don't think so. I think that Jesus being the cornerstone, they lay a cornerstone, and every block in the building would be lined up on that cornerstone. We got a foundation of Jesus' word, the teaching of the apostles. And then there is Jesus as a cornerstone. He says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades are not going to prevail against it. Amen? Amen. I think that here he's talking about more than just the teachings of Jesus. What has he said so far? Verse 14, he says, he himself is our peace. Verse 15, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. Go back to Colossians 1:17. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. And what I see in this is an active relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ in the church, that he's more than just a figurehead, that he's more than just gave us his word and said, I'm sitting in heaven now. No, that he is here right among us. That, oops, let me go back. One more. There we go. He's right among us, holding everything again, lining us up on him. Amen? Amen. That he is the head of the church, which is his body. Glory to God. All right. Point number two, or B. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are prepared as a place for God. And that's a pretty big statement right there. God dwells in the church. Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered, I am right there with them. Jesus prays for a dynamic link between God and his disciples. He says, John 17, read the whole thing, it's awesome, that all of them may be one. Remember the picture, right? That they would destroy the dividing wall of hostility, the coexist and the star, that they would be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us. And you can see just in that statement of all that Paul is talking about, the reconciliation of the Jew and the Gentile, making a church, a new entity that then is reconciled to God, and God lives there by his Spirit. God comes to change you individually. God wants to do a transforming work in each one of your lives. But in addition to that, he works corporately. I think Peter makes it so clear. He says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are being built into a spiritual house where God is going to live. We come together corporately as a place where that the Lord would come and dwell in us. More than just individually, but corporately, God does something incredible in our midst. Many of you felt it as we're having communion. Many of you feel it each time you come into this building. The church, oh, I love the church. The church is like nothing else on this planet. The church is the place where God lives. The church is built as a dwelling place of God where we can experience hope, riches, and power. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades will not stand against it. And he's drawing us together. He's removing all the hostilities, all the drama, all the old stuff. And we come into the church and we support one another. We're supposed to support one another. And maybe you brought a little drama in today. Maybe you brought a little hostility in today. And the Lord would say, by my sacrifice on the cross, I'll take that away from you. Where are you at today with the Lord? Church is unique. I love the Lord. I love his body. Come here today. Many of you struggling. Many of you celebrating. That's what the church is supposed to be like. Celebration and struggle. We support one another. We come together and God comes and dwells among us. Lisa's going to come up and sing that song in the secret. We're going to pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, your house, living stones, Lord, being tied together, Lord, as a unit, Lord, that you would come and dwell among us, Lord. Lord, there are some that are here this morning that are just feeling on the outs. They want to know your hope. They want to know your power. They want to know your provision, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your cross that brings us hope and power and provision. If you sit here this morning and the Holy Spirit is just grabbing your heart, saying, my child, I don't want you rolling out of here like that guy in that wheelchair this morning, bitter and mad, stealing what he could on the way out. Lord says, I'll make you part of my household. I'll make you part of my family. I'll wash away your sin. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus cleansed you from all unrighteousness. But you got to want to be right. You got to want to come into the presence of God. You got to want to be transformed. You're here this morning. The Lord is speaking to your heart. I want to give you that opportunity. Nobody's looking around. The Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, come to me, my child. Receive me as your Savior. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new family. I'll give you people around you that'll build you up and not tear you down. I'll take that barrier of sin out of your life, but you got to turn it over to me. No one's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. And you would just with an upraised hand say, Lord, I hear you and I want that in my life. Right here says, yeah, that's me. Over here says, yeah, that's me. Anybody else say, here? Here and here and here? Oh, many hands up over here. Anybody else back over here? Say, that's me. I want that new life. Hallelujah. I see that hand there. Lord, you are so good. Oh, Lord, you're so good. I just sense your presence in this place. Transforming sinners, Lord. Setting the captive free, Lord. For these that have raised their hands, Lord. For these that have sin, Lord. The bitterness, the barrier of sin in their life, Lord. That you would come and wash that away.
Yes, Lord.
That you would make us brand new creations in you. That you build us together a spiritual house for spiritual worship, Lord. These that have raised their hands, say, oh, Lord, save me a sinner, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's celebration in heaven. Lord, that new foundations are being laid in lives, Lord. Hallelujah. A desire for your spirit being guided by your word, Lord. Lord, make me brand new. I'll surrender it all to you. You put your hand up and you just receive that prayer. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.